God's war is our war. Why? He's our Father. And when did his war begin? With Satan, even in the first earth age. It's not a new thing. That conflict is going even to this day. And the deeper and we go into time and the nearer we go to the end of this particular dispensation, then we see a speed up in prophecy as prophecies begin to come to pass almost yearly. I can remember when maybe we had one prophecy come to pass every 10 years. And that seemed like a long time, but today it's... And then you can better understand why God himself said it'll be like labor pains. They get closer and closer and closer, and so they are. But I suppose what I want us to concentrate on is that when God is on your side, you're always going to win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. When it's all over and it's all said and done, you're going to be way ahead of the pack, all right? Just stick with him. Concentrate on his word. Observe what it is he would have us do. And, well, how should, when there are so many religions in the world, stick to the word of God? Don't play around with traditions and Johnny-come-latelys. I know that may offend some, but so be it. You know, we have one God, Yahweh Almighty, the creator of all mankind, including some people's so-called gods. And he is our Father. So don't insult him by turning away to traditions of men or religions created by men. Well, how can you be sure? Well, go to the Word of God. Go to the ancient manuscripts. Who was here first?
Well, Johnny come along in 1000 B.C. Well, everything was already created then,
basically. Well, why would you want to listen to somebody like that?
Well, because I'm a little bit stupid, baby.
Okay, well, be that as it may. Our Father is in control. Stick with him. We have the victory. You have nothing to fear. And other than fear itself of not paying attention to your Father's word. The controversy started all the way back in Genesis 3:15, which we hit teaching once on television earlier this week, that when, between the serpent's seed and the seed of Almighty God, which would come here and pay the price as our Savior. He paid that price whereby when we fall short, and we do, on repentance we're forgiven and he will protect you. He will take care of you. So let's go, if we may, then to one of the minor prophets that have to do with this subject, Zechariah. They're near the very end of the Old Testament. Zechariah, we're going to pick it up in chapter 9, and we're going to talk about both the first and the second advent, whereby we know and understand our Father's word that he knew before Christ even came the first time. Okay, just go to the next to the last book in the Old Testament and pick it up in chapter 9, and we're in business, all right? So we're going to pick it up with verse 8. What I want you to concentrate on as we cover these scriptures is how much God takes care of his children. Okay, many of these scriptures we're going to cover today happen to have to do with this generation, with the peoples of this world today. Okay, so chapter 9, verse 8. There has been, as you will notice in verse 6, a certain person, a counterfeit, tried to set himself up as king, like Spurious Messiah, in verse 6, so that you kind of get the chain of thought. We got somebody coming pretty soon that's doing a pretty good job of it. All right, verse 8 of chapter 9, and it reads, "And I will encamp," this is God speaking, "about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with mine eyes."
there's not going to be anyone bother my people again. They're going to win every battle. Why? I'm right over them. I'm watching them. I'm encamped by them. I'm parked there. Okay? Many of you might wonder, well, certainly we have been lucky of late, like with Desert Storm, and like even with Korea and with Vietnam, that we broke the back of communism, that we keep winning, 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 if you look at the truth. But like Desert Storm, and then there was Afghanistan, there were giants in those hills, and it was like a puff of air. Why did we win so easily? God encamps around us. It's that time. God takes care of those people that say, "In God we trust." It makes a difference to Him. And then we have people that would be cowards rather than remaining focused on what's happening and tremble because of some old boy that wears skirts over in the desert. You know, have you ever been in combat? Do you know what a guy dressed like that, how hard he would be to pick off if you were really in hand-to-hand combat? A guy wearing dresses, you know, they flatter in the breeze, makes an easy target, okay? There are no giants in this world any longer. God has already taken care of them. So don't let any of these would-be people build themselves up with some great giant reputation from the media, when I guarantee you they can be had real easy. Well, why haven't they done it? Well, there are reasons. Right? We have problems when anyone in this great nation begins to let the world tell it how to do its business. Okay? That's trouble. And if you don't know what I'm talking about the United Nations. They don't tell us what to do. We didn't win World War II by listening to the United Nations. Number one, they didn't even exist. But they tried to replace the old outfit, Sons of Liberty or something, that took over us after World War I, and they kind of run out of wind too. We don't listen to anyone but God, and we crush that is evil when it must be, that infringes and comes on our... Well, they're not bothering us. Oh, where were you September the 9th? Or the 9/11? Where were you? Where were you earlier than that a few years when they blew it off of the basement? Where were you when we lost two embassies? And a lot of people, where were you when the cold and 18 good troops were murdered? And you think they're not bothering us? They hate us. Why? Because we support God. We support God's army. God's war is our war. Okay, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That was Christ's first entry. That was the first advent when he came as Savior to bring salvation to you, where sinner that you are, that you can repent and have a fresh start in life, clean, wholesome, and blessed, because he paid that price. He's coming back again in the next verse at the second advent, and he's not coming back to be crucified. He's coming back, and he has a rod of iron, and he's going to use it. He's going to straighten things out. He's not coming back to be crucified, but to conquer. Second Advent, verse 10. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. That's the larger of the 10 tribes, therefore always symbolizes the 10 tribes. And the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river, that means even the Euphrates,
even to the ends of the earth, King of kings, Lord of all lords, and the only king there shall be at that time, except for the kings and queens of the ethnos. That's how the cookie crumbles. That's how it's going to be. When he comes back this time, he's not leaving us ever again. He's coming to stay, to set up his kingdom here on earth. And you're a part of that, maybe. If you claim to be, and if you believe him, and if his battle is your battle, you are a member. And he loves you very much. And God, listen to me, God always takes care of his own. I can't make it any plainer than that. I know from experience in life. I know from experience in war. I know from experience in combat. God takes care of his own. There are tragedies, yes. But ultimately and overall, all things work to the good for those that love the Lord. Don't you ever forget it. We have the victory. He is encamped around us. Verse 11. Also for thee who? Ephraim and Judah, which is to say Zion, all right? Also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. What water? The living water, truth. You've hung out in that old pit around people, which you never get any truth, but a bunch of traditions of men batted back and forth to where you can't advance. I've closed it, and I've brought my people out where they can see truth, where they can understand. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. Well, what is right? Anytime that someone tries to imprison or captivate a people, anytime that someone tries to rule over and take the freedom away from God's children, they're an enemy. They're an enemy to God and the people. That's wrong. Well, then what's right? Freeing and liberating people that are held hostage, people that need to be free. And by free people who will not allow their freedoms to be trampled upon. No way. Because whatever the cost, and whatever the trouble, those free people will destroy, with God's help, anything that comes against what is right. It isn't a complicated thing to determine right from wrong. Oppression is oppression, period, by any name or title. Verse 12. Turn ye to the stronghold. What is your stronghold? Better be your father, okay? You prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Do you know what double is? Double means the blessings of one that is a first fruit. You get a double portion, a double blessing. In other words, that makes you more effective in planting seeds. It makes you more effective in your daily life. You have an advantage. That's his promise. And he keeps it to those that claim it and will act upon it. Well, does that take bravery? No, just common sense. It's his promise. And if you believe his word, then it's written to you. And anytime a person wouldn't step forward and take a double blessing, something wrong with them. They're about a sandwich short of a picnic. Okay? Something wrong with the dude. All right? Verse 13. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, that means when I've made a weapon out of my people, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. May I read it from the manuscripts, Javon, so that you don't start hating Greece. The nation Greece of today has nothing to do with that. And made thee as the sword of a mighty man.
In other words, my people to me are as the sword of a mighty man. Well, how could that possibly be? Well, it's real simple. It's very simple. What is the sword of the Lord?
Well, let me see. There's Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 says very plainly that the sword of the Lord is a two-edged sword, and it comes from Christ's mouth, meaning it's His word. And we take that word, and I mean we cut with it. Some people don't like it. Who cares? Because it always cuts and lets the person heal over and be a much stronger and better person for it, because the word never hurt anyone. All it does is heals and straightens out, makes the way. It's His word. I thank God that He has blessed this ministry with such an awesome platform. It's really a miracle. It truly is. And don't worry, I know who to thank for it. It takes each and every one of us. And we get it done. Why? Because we believe. It's that simple. We believe His word. And His word is our sword. And we will not lay it down, nor will we put it in the sheath. We will utilize it. Verse 14. And the Lord shall be seen over them. That is so very important. Who's over them? Some general? No. The Lord, Yahweh, Almighty God, and His arrow shall go forth as the lightning. That's divine intervention. And the Lord God shall, what's He going to do? The Lord God shall, what's He going to do? Shall blow the trumpet, the last one even, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. And we've got something to worry about. I would say rather those that come against us have something to worry about. A bunch. Because we're going to win. We're going to take them. And it's not going to be a pretty sight on their end. But Almighty God, I don't know, are you in His army or not? Certainly you wouldn't be afraid if you were. You would be ready. You would be anxious. For we're in the time of the latter rain. And anyone should find it a privilege serving Almighty God. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That means spiritually to be with Him. Verse 15, the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. What was at the corner of the altar? The horn, the strength, the power of the altar. What God is saying, they're going to be so happy and so thrilled that you're going to think they're full of wine. They're not. The wine of truth, the blood of Christ, where they protect us, where He leads us, where He guides us, to where we have victory after victory with no problem. We are in that day. Who was it again that led? Do you understand what a trumpet does? That sounds attack, retreat, sounds taps, time of mourning. It's a signal. God gives the signals. And you have to be attuned to it when He leads and guides. Well, how can I discern right from wrong? Right from wrong. It's that simple. An intelligent person has no problem with that. Okay. You know, we have some spin doctors that are absolutely, I shouldn't say it, but to me they're sickening. Because they can take a truth and turn it upside down in front of people's eyes. And what really hurts me is a lot of our own people believe that garbage. You know? I mean, they're just drawn in by it. Why? They're minus something. They're minus the Word of God. they don't know what's going on, so they listen to man. And I guarantee you, if you listen to man, this man or any other man, without checking them out in the Word of God, you're in one big heap of trouble. Because your Father promises, He keeps His promises. Don't doubt Him. And so he does protect us, and He defends us. Verse 16. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of His people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown. That's pretty important. Do you feel like you could be that uppity? Like, I mean, you know, really, to God, in God's love, I shouldn't use the word uppity probably, but that's pretty high class there. We're traveling in high cotton there. But that's what He thinks about you, a stone in His crown. You know, when you do His work, that's how much He appreciates it. Lifted up as an ensign upon His hand. He's in charge. He's in control. From these stones, He has a people. From God's elect, He has people that He considers so very, very precious. He is their shepherd. He guards them. He watches over them. And then He changes them into a family and gives them a sword. And they're certainly not afraid to use it. I speak spiritually. Verse 16, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock. We got that. 17, and how great is His goodness, and how great is His beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful or flourish, and new wine the maids. He, you know, our Father controls everything. And our Father is in control. And when you are in good standing with Him, if you're not, you got something to fear, perhaps. But if you are in good standing with Him, you have nothing to fear. Well, what does it take to get in good standing? Repent. He loves you. And He is so very, I'll use the word thankful, for a family that He can trust and that will stick with Him through thick and thin. Because with us, it's all thin anyway. He sees to it. And we're going to continue right on into chapter 10, because the further the message goes, the more security that He promises, and even sometimes gives some instructions. Let's go with it. Chapter 10. Let me just insert briefly. You can take the 14th chapter of this book and teach the whole book of Revelation, basically. Where Christ's feet's going to touch on the Mount of Olives, and what's going to happen when they do. All right? So I want you to know that though you're in the Old Testament, you're in the time that you're living today. And what is prophecy? Prophecy is telling you beforehand that it's about to come to pass. Chapter 10, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make, not maybe, shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. What did it say? Did it say just walk on out there and wait a while? It didn't say that. It said, ask the Lord. I don't know, how often do you talk to Him? You get in a little bind and do you let Him know about it? Do you want to know what's happening in the world today? Well, yes, I find it very confusing. Well, ask Him. Ask Him. Do you know what the latter rain is? It's the truth that He rains down in prophecy to open your mind to the events, current events even, that are transpiring today. Well, why would He do that? You're part of His army. An army that's not informed is not worth much. So stay informed. Ask for the latter rain. Do you understand that's an agriculture term? And a lot of people are not really up on agriculture in this generation like they should be. Do you know what the early rain does? The early rain, when you put those little seeds in the ground, it sprouts them and gets them started to grow, and they just make beautiful plants. But if they don't get the latter rain, do you know what happens to them? They blast in the field. They dry up. They die. But the latter rain falls upon them and germinates the new seed that is, not germinates, but brings forth the new seed that is to be within them and matures them. So that's where you get your maturity, is from the latter rain, the rain concerning the latter days. So that's why it's so important to ask for it and to ask with understanding. Verse 2, for the idols have spoken vanity. Well, I didn't know idols could speak. Well, hang on a minute. And the diviners have seen a lie. Well, what are diviners? Well, people that think they're prophets and preachers that divine up spiritual things and religions, dream up new religions, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. There wasn't for them. But I guarantee you, you will never be without a shepherd. Your shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he always takes care of his sheep. But if you start messing around with the traditions of men and false teachings, you're going to end up without the shepherd. Why? He doesn't want you. They rush up to him in the latter time and they say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, hey, we've tossed out demons in your name. And he said, you get out of my sight. I never knew you. It's a very serious thing, my friend. Are you a child of his or not? A child of his follows him, follows his word, studies his word, and takes traditions of men and junks them. They're worthless. They are a waste of time. God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, is your life. What do you mean, my life? Your eternal life. Without it, you don't have an eternal life. Verse 3. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, the fakes. And I punished the goats. And that's to say, I punished the leaders. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. They're not sheep anymore. They happen to be horses. And we're talking about the true house of Judah here. All right? Verse 4. Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him the nail. That's the tent peg to enlarge the tent, to hold it up, to keep it in place. Out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. That is to say, every governor or ruler. Why? Well, it was a king line. Okay? That's I think oppressor is a bad translation. It means leader. Verse 5. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the street in the battle, and they shall fight. Why is that going to, why do they always win? Because the Lord is with them. And the riders on the horses shall be confounded. Anyone that comes against them is going to be confounded. We've got the victory. We don't have anything to fear. You mean we're not going to have any body bags? Oh, yes, we will. But let me tell you something. Every person, most often, that occupies a body bag knew the price they paid for bringing freedom, whereby our little ones don't have to worry about living in that quagmire. It's a price. Freedom is the most precious thing in the world. It's not cheap. But God still gives us that victory, and he makes it better and better in less body bags and less body bags. I thank him for that. 6. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. That's all the natural seed of Israel, both houses. And I will bring them again to place them, For I have mercy upon them. I love them. That's what mercy is love. I love them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God and will hear them. That means more than hear. It means I will hear and answer them. Our Father doesn't mess around. When he makes a promise such as these, he keeps them. But what was it he told you back in verse 1 of this? Ask.
Well, I never get any blessings because you haven't asked.
Poor, shameful thing. Ask, and you shall receive. Verse 7. And they of Ephraim, this would represent the 10 tribes, so-called lost to some people. God didn't lose anything. Shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as though as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. Umbilical cord to umbilical cord, generation to generation, even to this generation. I will hiss for them. God saying, I'm going to whistle for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. They grow and they grow and they grow. Do you know why they control the tent pegs? That enlarges the family. You have to be able to move those pegs out to take in more family. That would be back from verse 9. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. And they shall live with their children and turn again. They will live with eternal life. The word goes to far countries. Up until this generation, the ocean, we could always feel if we fight the enemy on his own ground, the oceans will protect our children. We won't have to worry about here at home. That changed. And it changed mightily. Now we do have to worry about home, but we don't have to worry all that much. Just have to use common sense and think. Don't be like somebody that just because someone says duct tape, they start putting it all over their house before anything even happens. That is so dumb. So very dumb. Think and take care of your family, okay? As Christians, we're supposed to be intelligent, all right? Know your enemy. That's important. Otherwise, you're shadow boxing. Know your enemy and how he operates, and then know what you have to worry about. Okay. Example: if we live over here in Gordon's Holler, I think you go down there about 5 miles and finally you come to a hill, and right on top of it there's a house, and there's two elderly people live there. I'm sure they got a lot to worry about, the terrorists coming in the night. I guarantee you one thing, when two people live that far off the main road, I wouldn't advise the terrorists to show up there in the middle of the night. We know how to take care of our own, don't we? Thank God for that. Thank God for the frontiers of this great nation and what still is left over. You have your anti-gun people will say, it isn't true that the old families had guns. Well, every picture you ever see of sodbusters or anything else, Papa's got his long gun. Junior's got his hunting rifle. Mama's got her double barrel. You know, I mean, they're holding them right out there like, hey, we do business. We can take care of our own. They were proud of their weaponry because it was part of their livelihood. All right? So just throwing that in to say, you know, the people have always used common sense. Don't stop. Okay? Think for yourself. I'm going to pick it up with verse 10. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria. The Assyrian took the 10 tribes of Ephraim, represented by Ephraim, captive,
And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he's going to open it up. That's why we read in Revelation chapter 21 that every ocean and lake will be dried up. So it'll hold the people. Verse 11, and he shall pass through the sea with affliction. Speaking of Ephraim now, he's going to pass. Let me translate this and listen to it carefully as I read it. And he, Ephraim, shall pass through the sea of affliction. It won't hurt him. Why? God's with him. And shall smite the waves in the sea. He'll fight every foot of the way. And all the deeps of the river, being the Nile, Egypt involved, shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. That's to say the rule. Well, why is that? That sounds strange, because God promised Egypt they would always be a base nation. Because the king is returned, and there's only one king of kings. Okay. Verse 12, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. If you walk up and down in the Lord's name, not some fake shepherd. Well, brother, you don't understand. I belong to the Church of Jesse James. I never heard of that. Did you? I was trying to pick a name, you know, that not the Lord's Church, but Jesse James Church. We rob banks. We rob your bank. Stay with the Lord's Word, okay? There's only one church, and that's Jesus' church, all right? So his word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And we just study that word. That's why this chapel is called Shepherd's Chapel. It's his. We'll have people that'll call from way away and say, I really like this church. I want to join. And I'll say, well, hey, we can't do anything about that. And it always stuns them. You can't do anything about me joining this church. I said, no, you got to take that up with the shepherd. If he accepts you, we're not going to turn you away. And then they say, oh, I get it. Well, and you better take it up with him, because if you don't, he'll have you gone pretty quick. So anyway, our Father wants us to know he takes care of us. He takes care of business. He doesn't mess around. So don't you. You stay with him, and you stay with the Word, especially in these latter days when we seek that latter rain. I'm not going to quit there. I want to go on over to the 11th chapter here, and we're going to pick it up with verse 15, and we're going to kind of finish this up. You notice when I started in 9, I told you there was a guy trying to be the spurious Messiah in, what was it, verse 6, called a Mamzar there. Well, here we finally, he gets around to it, okay? Verse 15. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. In other words, you watch out, there's one coming, and you might as well get set for it. It didn't mean you got to believe him. I'm in chapter 11. And I'm reading verse 15, okay? Verse 16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off. He's not going to visit the sick. He's that idol shepherd. He's Antichrist, the son of perdition, the devil, anything you want to call him, playing Jesus, claiming to be Jesus. Neither shall seek the young one. He's not going to help him. He doesn't care. Nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. If they're so near starved to death that they can't even move, he's not going to feed them. He doesn't care. That's the Antichrist. The true Messiah heals, leads, guides, directs, saves. This one is a big zero, zippo. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces.
He will deceive them to the destruction, which is one of his names. That's all he has in mind. It's coming, my friends, and God has an army to fight against this. And the sword we use is his word, the truth, to accomplish it. Woe to the idle shepherd, that fake, that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. Your arm is your strength. That means he's not going to have any strength. I'm going to cut it. And upon his right eye, that's right is always the power, his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. He's not going to mount to nothing. Make sure that you're not deceived and that you follow, that you would follow that idle shepherd who is better described in chapter 9, verse 6. I think that's what I said, and I'll double check. Yep, that's it, Mamzar. Because that's what he is. Okay. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, I've gone to the back of the book and I've read it and I know we win, so I'm not worried about it? Well, that's what we're going to do. Okay. To close this, we're going to go to the back of the book, that is to say, Revelation chapter 20. And not only are we going to win this battle that we're in now, but we're going to win the battle at the end of the millennium, and let it be written. It is written, and that's exactly as it shall be. And I guarantee you, you don't even have anything to worry about at that time. God's war is our war. We're part of the family. When our father's at war, we're at war. Okay, chapter 20, let's pick it up with verse 8. 7. Let's pick it up with verse 7. We're in the millennium, okay? You get yourself zeroed in. And when the 1,000 years had expired, that means the millennium is over, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I'm going to turn him loose from that pit he's chained in, back in verse 1. He's going to test the people to see how smart they are. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. That simply means it doesn't mean literally those places geographically. It is a name used for those that do not believe God. Okay? To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. I have trouble with that because I cannot imagine how at the end of the millennium, when Christ himself has taught, that there could still be thousands that wouldn't believe. But that's what the word says, so I guess we have to accept it. I guess we know people, don't we? Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints, about thousands of them, and the beloved city. And what happened? Here comes the war. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's how quick it's going to be. It just gets a little quicker, a little quicker, a little quicker on our enemies. Poor suckers. Boy, have they got it rough. There is no way that they can win fighting against Almighty God. God is a consuming fire. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone when he came as Antichrist, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That means he's going to be in there forever and ever, but there's, guess what? The first verse of chapter 21 says all lakes are going to be covered over. They don't exist. They're blotted out forever and ever. When something is turned to ashes, it's forever and ever. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. That's the one present. And there was found no place for them. And he opens the books. You're in that book. You are. Your name's right there. And it's well written exactly where you stand and what you've done. And even your sins that you haven't repented for. If you repented, guess what? They're blotted. They're gone. Don't exist. And you that are in his army, it's payday. Judgment day is payday. That's when you get paid. Instead of cursed, are troubled or punished, it's blessings. It's not just for a little while. It's blessed forever and ever and ever. How precious that time is. God's war is our war. And our weapon is the Word of God. Don't ever forget that. And that weapon is so powerful, so dynamic. And I thank God that He has given us a platform that goes all the way around the world with that sword. Let us never back off from picking it up and charging. Why? Because God's war is our war. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving with You and for You. Father, bless each of these. Remember that double blessing, it's claimed, Father, and we ask for the knowledge and wisdom that You have promised. Now, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
And we cannot shed tears for them. Okay, Ken from Minnesota. You always say Satan is the only son of perdition. What about the Nephilim? Are they also condemned already? Well, you're not misquoting me. You're just not quoting the correct statement that I make. Satan is the only named entity. Okay? The Nephilim are not named individually. Satan, when it says son, that is singular, son of perdition. That is one entity. And Satan is the only one named to fill that role. The Nephilim, as a group, we know that they are sentenced to die after they do a certain thing. But they are not named. That's why I say he is the only one named. So, Tanny from Mississippi. I have epilepsy, and I worry a lot about being right with God. I think I told God to take my name out of the Book of Life. Will God understand my request if I pray? Will God disregard my request if I pray about it? No. Our Father knows when we are ill, and so just repent. Let Him know you love Him, dear, and you will be in good shape, all right? You have nothing. I'm sure you have already repented, and just let the Lord know you love Him. I know that through medication, we've been able to help this condition a great deal, so get the help that you need, but know that in the spiritual body, you will be whole. Bernadine from Minnesota. Some people teach that when Jesus returns, He will sit on Great Britain's throne. Is it true? Well, the Stone of Scone, he will see that it gets returned. And that's, in my estimation, that's Jacob's pillar. The pillow that he laid on, a stone, and it has been carried with and by our people. We have a little book in our library that has to do with that, and it's history. Okay? Pastor Marine, I recently began rereading the book of Ezekiel and noticed that the letter S in Son of Man is capitalized in some places and in other places is a lower case. Is this symbolic of anything, for anything? I know if anyone can answer this question, you could. Thank you, a faithful watcher. Lisa, you're so welcome. Ezekiel is one of the prophets that God called Son of Man. Let's say it in Hebrew, Ben Adam. Okay, Ben, son, and Adam, man. Adam, man, Son of Man. And when it refers to Ezekiel, it is lowercase. But when it refers to part of the Godhead, it is uppercase. Okay? Frank from California. Can a man lose his salvation if he turns from God? Can we come back to God after years of not praying or anything? Well, you know, make a note of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. All souls belong to God. God owns your soul. Right, you're his child. And have you ever heard of the prodigal son that left for a long period of time and came back and he killed the fatted calf for him? Well, many times he's very happy to see someone return. Your salvation is there. Why? Christ is the Savior and he doesn't mess up. But you can slip so far away from him, from non-repentance, that you can be in bad shape. So therefore, repent, love him, and welcome home. Welcome home. Maybelline from South Carolina. If a spouse won't allow you to worship God, is this grounds for divorce? Where is this written in the Bible? There is one thing, Maybelline, that you will never hear me do, and that's agree with someone that they should be divorced, okay? The scripture you're looking for, you will find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it does give reason. Many times, not being familiar with the situation, I can't advise you. I don't know what he's doing to prevent you, or if you're exercising enough on your part. So think about it, pray about it. But that's the scripture you're looking for, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Don from Florida. How do you feel about the books of the Apocrypha, and why aren't they included in our Bible in your teaching? Well, I teach from the Apocrypha at times. Second book of Daniel, which is called, I think the title of my tape on is the fourth beast, as well as Susanna. Have you heard about Susanna? That's another one. I teach the Apocrypha, the Masora documents, that part of Esdras, which is simply saying Ezra in Greek rather than Hebrew, is there and legit. Okay. Mike from Georgia, what scriptures can you recommend for demonic oppression? Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Luke 10, 18, Christ gave us power over all of our enemies, including Satan. So, demonic oppression, you know, all it is an evil spirit. Just get it out of your house. Anoint yourself and order it out in the name of Jesus. You don't have to put up with stuff like that. And always keep Christ in your home. Luke 10, begin reading with about verse 18. And practice it. Exercise it with authority. Okay? Stan from Ohio. What does the verse about giving them a serpent for fish to eat or a stone for bread mean, and how do they apply today? Well, it means that our Father, what it is saying, it is, it means that our Father loves us. And if we ask for bread, he's not going to give us a rock. He's very intelligent. He knows we're hungry and need bread. Okay. If we're hungry and ask for a fish, he's not going to give us a serpent. He's going to give us a fish. All right? And that's what it means, that God is kind and he knows what we have need of. Nikki from Tennessee, I'm 9.5 years old. My father and I watch you all the time. Well, great. It's good to have you, both of you, with us. God bless you and SCN. My question is, in the book of Ezekiel, you mention about flying objects or whirlwinds. Could these be angels coming from heaven to earth? Well, they're called whirlwinds, Nikki, in the scripture, but they are a whirling disc, meaning unidentified to man, but not to God, okay? They're vehicles. God's, as a matter of fact, in the first chapter of Ezekiel, God's throne was aboard one of those craft, okay? My other question is, what is your opinion on the strange markings and designs on crops in England? I think some people are having a lot of fun, you know, I really do. And, you know, people get a big kick out of it, apparently. It's amazing what they come up with. It's pretty, but that is my opinion. Karen from North Carolina. I have had a cocaine and crack problem. I've been back for 14 years. I got clean. I've been bad maybe for 14 years. I just have BA, whatever that means, and I'm out of time. I've been clean for 5 months. I slipped on one day and asked for forgiveness. Will he forgive me, and should the Bible be able to help me with this addiction, or is it okay to go to Narcotics Anonymous? Well, it's okay if you go to Narcotics Anonymous. At the same time, all of God's Word will help you. Ask his strength. You've done good for 5 months. Keep it up. Out of time, hey, love you a bunch. Stay in his Word. Every day in it's a good day. You know why? Even with trouble. Because Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior, he is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
This has been a long time I've been promising a children's book. This is a book that will help a parent teach their child exactly what God's words